Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. What's it going on? Sorry, it started flashing at me. Anyway, let me just start the other recorder. There we go. That's all good. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to Ever Beyond. Today, the 6th of November, 2016. So there's lots of ones and lots of sixes. So there's lots of first-ray energy and lots of sixth-ray energy. That should be quite fun to, well, we can feel it all happening right now. All this stuff that's going on, first-ray is the ruling classes, 6A is the high temperatures. So, anyway, enough about the rays. We got some other rays, and Ra's and things. And, well, how can I put this? I'd like to introduce a friend of mine. We've been speaking for a little while over Skype and, with a small group, that I've, come across, through the, Connecting Consciousness group. So, without little more ado, because we're going to explore some deep, old, ancient mysteries and histories and see what we can find today. So without any further ado, let me introduce Liara. Good afternoon. Good evening. Yes, good evening.
Good evening, JP.
It's almost good morning here in the U of K.
And we're on night shift.
It's lovely. And you've got a lovely southern English accent. So
Southern Northern English accent, sort of both.
Yeah, well, you're Southern to me because I'm in Scotland.
Yeah, we have a team member on the call in Ireland in Cork, lovely old Lyran Elder William, holding the ground for us over there.
That's indeed right.
Well, hello, William.
Hello, William. Indeed, talking of the, when I went to Ireland, William actually was probably the only person that I met, apart from my travel companion, the only human that we kind of arranged to meet, and we met in Cork and have a lovely afternoon, together. And, hello to you, William, and, good afternoon. And, do you want to say hello, or are you just gonna?
Yes, say hello, William.
Yeah, she's dropped you in it right now. So, you gotta step up.
Yeah, she's dropped me right in it.
Right in it. So how are you, my old friend?
I'm quite good, thank you, JP. And that was a lovely, lovely meet that we had.
It was, indeed.
I enjoyed it immensely, thank you very much.
And the meal was fantastic, and thank you once again for inviting us. That was great.
Oh, you're welcome, yeah.
So, Liara, let's get you right under the griddle. And, put you on the rack.
I've been tuning in all night. I've had ships buzzing me all night, so yeah, we're well tuned in. Everybody on the ground crew from around the world are tuned in right now, and I've just got to say, from the Galactics, our family, they are all tuned in. And if you've had problems with your internet, they are going to be hosting just in case it goes down.
Good. So here we are, at the Nexus point on many, many levels.
Yes.
Many people don't know what a Nexus is. As a Nexus is the place where everything comes together. There are many words to describe this time that have been described in prophecies, other times. And one of them, the one that I use all the time, is the time of the crossing. Is something is crossing something. And everybody seems to be crossing each other. You know, everybody's triggered. Everybody's up in an emotional state. So
crossing our fingers and vainly that we get to the right timeline.
So, do you want to talk about this process then, Liara? Let's go from here. The crossing.
The crossing.
Take a nice deep breath in. And by the way, have you got rainbow lights going in your room as well?
No, that's just my team.
All right, that's your team, because I've got, you might see
William
in my back.
I've had a rainbow over my head all day, so.
Yeah, you've got changing colours going on, so have I, but I've actually got an electric light bulb that's changing colours.
Right, the crossing that's going on, let's see. The powers that were, I've tried to, they know there had been two timelines, and a more lower dense timeline, and the timeline we're currently on. The light workers and the Galactics have been for a very long time creating the possibility of a third timeline, a third Earth, where everything is going, we are at the crossroads. This Earth parallel that we are on, this vibration is at the crossroads. And everything is being sorted in dream time, in physicality, where we have got a free will choice. What do we want to do? Do we want to keep our vibrations low and step to the lower vibration and go to the apocalypse of what they've been trying to project, because it's free will, they're allowed to have it, where that timeline will happen, but it will be cut off from this timeline to give the people left on this timeline chance to ascend, and the light workers will be working on the, not a future timeline, it's a parallel higher vibration timeline. So when we are all completed, we will gradually move up with the F and place in that light grid. And that's the crossing. Nibiru will happen on the other timeline. If we don't want it to happen, that's our free will choice as well. So you've got to decide what you want. And this is what it's happening right now. We are deciding, are we going to go with commercialism, materialism, money, corruption, war, death, strife, and go to the lower one? Or are we going to stand our ground, like the song said, and raise our vibration with the planet and go higher and take it to where we're cooperating with each other and helping each other? And that is the Hopi prophecy. We're all tribes, no matter what your skin looks like inside, we are one soul stream.
That's right, we have the blood, the life that is pouring through us all. So the idea of the crossing can mean multiple things depending on where your intentions lay. And yes. So what you're saying is that there could, if you're stuck in the physicality and you connected with chance. Money and you believe in money and all of that stuff, then you're still in the Anunnaki world and therefore will be affected by the Nibiru passing.
I wouldn't use the word Anunnaki, because those of us that know the history of the Anunnaki just means those from heaven who came. So many from heaven came. So it's just a word that
busy
they use
time.
All the time. So it depends. There's good ones, bad ones, because it's duality. If you've got light, you've got equal amount of dark, and that is duality. A lot of them are now crossing over to the point where it's almost 70% light, 30% dark, and it keeps fluctuating between the percentage is fluctuating. See, because we are going into oneness and out of duality, we have got to get over the tipping point. Otherwise, we stay in this constant backwards and forwards pull. We have got to be the pivot on the axis.
The center of the cross. You're making a sign with your hands, a cross sign. You're
showing
saying
me Libra.
Libra.
And the scales and the feather and the heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the old Egyptian thing, which when you die, that your
relevant.
Yeah, your heart must be lighter than the feather.
Yes.
And things like karma weigh the heart down and make it heavier than the feather. So Those of us who have been doing the work,
we are now being asked to be the scales.
Mm-hmm.
No judgment, just observing. It's not our position to judge. That is Source's position to judge on the soul in question. Ours is to be the observer, stand strong, and have our scales in complete balance.
And be the pivot point.
Yes.
We all have to be the pivot point ourselves, I think. You know, it's like, there's no time when we can say, well, the Bible says this and this is how I need to behave. Or, this instruction, the Buddhist says you have to do this. Or,
Bibles, my goodness.
Yeah,
shall
you know.
Tell you something.
Tell me something.
All the written words have been translated into written language. And language has been manipulated. This is why the Egyptians used pictures. You can tell 1,000 stories with one picture and one symbol. Words can be manipulated. Your heart will recognize and your higher self will recognize a picture and makes its own interpretation of what it translates and sees in that picture. It doesn't need words. Words are just completely misinterpreted. Even now we misinterpret words. We don't know the true meaning. That's why they call it spelling. It's a spell. We've all been under a spell, and it's up to us to change the meaning of the words to fit us, not what everybody else says that word means. It's what it means to you. It's your reality, and it's about taking the power back and owning the word. Making, even if it's a horrible word, you can make it in your own reality to mean something else.
Words
that's
have
what
meaning.
I can say about written words.
Yes, words have meaning and names have power. So, where would you like to?
I've been downloading.
Oh, look at this pile of notes you got here.
These aren't notes.
All right.
When I was downloading the other day, I don't get words because I don't ever want to hear words in my head because I've always liked to keep one foot on the ground and just keep my sanity. There's too much streaming, so they give me pictures, loads and loads and loads of pictures. And when I was streaming the other day, because loads of souls left the planet, went through the open portal, and as they left information with me. So I was uploading, I was downloading, and I just get images. I came in, it's like, what are these images? And I looked at my books, and I've got books that have fallen off shelves for over the years at bookshops. And I've never read them, because I've never been called to read them. And some of those images were off books. I open the book, stop at the page, and look, and it's the message that they want me to give. And there's a story, this message comes from the lost teachings of Atlantis, the children of the Law of One. And I think Colleen had a show about
this. Yes, she did read, she's read the whole thing, so it should be available. I don't know if Colleen has a private archive, but it's certainly available.
You can download it for free as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, the page that I stopped on was 122, and I will summarise the message. Basically, a guy passes over and he's met by an angel. And the angel says, I am going to take you to heaven, but first I'm going to show you hell. They end up, they go to hell, and all there is there is a lake, a giant lake, a bowl, and it's full of food. And all around the edge of the lake are people starving, emaciated and hungry and in suffering. And they've got, in their hands, they've got 12-foot-long spoons. And the man says, I can't bear this, they're hungry, why don't they eat? So anyway, the angel says, I'm now going to show you heaven. And they went to heaven. And it's the identical lake with stew in the middle. Thousands of people around the outside running around happy, well-fed, in bliss. And he says, but it's the same place. I don't understand. They've got the same spoons, the same. Why are they happy? And the angel says, do you not have eyes to see? And he looks again and he sees one of the people with the 12-foot-long spoon dipping it into the stew and feeding the person opposite. And he says, now do you get it? That is love.
Da-da.
Da-da.
Big spoon.
So to me, it was to show what we're doing now. We have got the choice. Do we want to stand around this bowl and starve, or do we want to stand around this bowl and serve each other, feed each other, help each other, serve each other? And that's the message we're getting right now, and that's how you show love.
Inclusiveness.
All inclusiveness.
Yes, and, you know, even to the point of being inclusive about those people that we think are bad, or evil, and all of that stuff. It's, It's all
what
part
they
of the,
do. Their yeah. actions are that. Their actions are bad. Their soul doesn't know any better. Their soul is like that of a child, throwing a paddy, being naughty, acting out. It doesn't know any better. It's been programmed since it was born, probably for generations. Their children, and it's up to us to show compassion and to teach them. If they're still not willing to learn, they are being given chances and being shown examples by the good people on the planet, the ones who want to help. We've got to set an example. That is us as light workers, star seeds. We have come to set an example, not to preach, but to set an example by living and helping out of the goodness of our hearts, not because of what we're going to get, but for what we know it will do.
So, setting the example, again, it comes back to, don't go out there trying to persuade people of anything, but you be how you want to be, and then that creates a field around you that other people can choose or not to join you or not. That gives
That's
people,
right.
everybody's their free choice, their free will choice.
It gives them free will, it honors free will. And we're all about honoring free will. I was asked by one of my light workers in a session, because I actually only do sessions with light workers who are already awake to help them process new stuff. And they asked me all sorts of questions, but one was, you know, how do we set an example? How do we show? How do we create this field? And I said, you just do it by living your best example of best way you can be you and just be you. Doesn't matter if somebody over there is being them. You've got to allow them their free will to do that. We can't change the world. We only can change our own world. That's being given the free will out. It's like we have the power, the ones that are awakened, to come together and completely flip this reality onto a positive timeline and take everybody who's asleep with us. But is that honouring their free will? Is that honouring what they've come here to experience? No, it's not.
So, we all we make our choices, we exist. So, a lot of people are really confused about this, you know, to do the right thing. You have to be authentic. To be authentic, you have to come from your heart. If you're coming from your heart, then you're standing in your truth. If you're standing in your truth, you're coming from your source. If you're coming from your source, nothing can go wrong. That's the idea, isn't it? That's the chain
yes.
of order of
exactly.
things. And the order of things is always the spirit highest. The spirit is the thing that is listened to more than the complaints of the body, let's say.
It's a hierarchy that I follow, and there's three hierarchies in mine. I go to my heart, one. I go to the heart of the planet, two. And then I go to source, three. And they are the only ones that I answer to.
That's
and
interesting.
It's all the same stream.
That's exactly what I do as well. I connect to my heart, down to the earth, and then up to my monad, what I call monad. But
I ask my
thing.
Heart, does this feel right? And is this what you want me to manifest? Is this the good thing? Then I'll ask the planet, is this what you would like as well? And then I will ask Source, give us the power to do this. And it's done.
It is done. And we stand in our power.
In my reality only. Mm-hmm. I only change my own reality. Nobody, I won't fiddle with somebody else's reality. But if they see what I'm doing in my reality and join me and like what I do, then it makes it bigger. It's like the Ghostbusters film, Don't Cross Your Streams. We are telling you to cross your streams.
So,
the crossing.
The time of the crossing. It's all about the crossing. So, do you want to talk a little bit about... Well, we were talking before the show. We're talking on Simon's show as well. Were you listening to Simon's show?
I listened to Simon's show, yeah. And I do apologize for it going off.
I don't think it was.
Might have been something to do with me.
No. The actual reason that it went off towards the beginning of the show, Was it?
Oh, not that time. The other time.
Oh, the other time. Right.
I think Simon messaged me quickly on Skype, and then it went off.
All right, see. But one of the times it was oversubscribed, like loads of people all joining the server all at the same time, kind of.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah. We need bigger servers.
Well,
there'll be no crashing tonight.
Every month when Simon comes on, you know, it stretches the servers a little bit more.
Yeah,
and,
he
does
a really, really good job, because some of us know what's going on in the political realm.
Yes.
But it's Simon's the one that brings that forward, and he is quite right in a lot of what he says, nearly all of what he says. And this stuff that I know, which I could add, but I can't. But he's very, very accurate with the military, the good, positive military, the coup that happened in America. I've been talking about this privately.
Mm-hmm.
And about the servers, and also he didn't mention that the hosting, they do try and take out the internet, some of the Secret Space Program Alliance, the good side, will be hosting from their ships the internet for key light workers, key workers, medical workers, etc. So.
Well, that'd be nice. Off-planet servers. I wonder what their IP address would be.
And I think that has been a lot to do with what's been going on with all light workers' internet at the moment.
Telling me.
So, and that was a download I got the other day.
All right, that's good. So, this is the thing, Liara. In the last few weeks, I've been seeing in the chats. I've got this. I've been sitting here just downloading loads and loads and loads, and I was thinking, well, okay, you've downloaded all this. Time to do some downloading, and when you download to us, that clears your space as well. I mean, once you've said it, it's out, and it's not kind of buzzing around inside your head. So we're doing you a favour.
Can I tell you how it works with me?
Tell us.
Okay, it's like I have downloaded I do it in stages. Every time humanity goes up a level, I can download that level of information. So I don't give out information that humanity is not ready for at that level. But I've downloaded a whole new stream. It's like downloading hundreds of zip files, and I can't access them until someone asks me the question, because it's got to come from humanity. So you ask
right. So actually, you're kind of like WikiLeaks. It's like WikiLeaks. Yeah, that's all the load of zip files that you have to kind of inquire about and find the name of.
See, if humanity aren't ready for the information, it wouldn't occur to them to ask the question, so I can't answer it.
All right, so
I can't volunteer information, because that goes against free will.
Answer not the unasked question.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So let's think of some good questions. And by the way, William, if anything comes up, you can speak up or type in the chat room, and we'll address your points.
You did mention about Lyra before we came on.
Yes, it's my personal quest at the moment. Having discovered all these strange soul memories that all came back at the same time, so I'm always looking for more and more information about the whole situation. What's the real reality of it, as opposed to what other people have said? What's your perspective on it?
From my own soul memories, I only can give you what I recall happening, and then I can stream any further questions from the database of the ship. From when we were at Lyra, when we landed on Lyra, she looked like, from the distance, she looked like a golden planet. And the people there were like children, but they were grown up, and they were almost light beings. They were absolutely beautiful and very, very innocent. And it would be compared to Eden. And that is the original Eden in this universe. And the people have got memories of Eden. It's that place. It was beautiful. The plants communicated and were conscious. The animals communicated with each other and were conscious. The people communicated with conscious. But they did have no concept of war, of hate, of jealousy, of any of that. They were completely innocent. They only knew love. So we arrived because we got the call to go back and check, or to go in and check. And people have asked me, because of my channel that I did with the video, about did we create the dark portal? No, I think we preempted that. We knew that that dark portal was going to be opening up anyway. We got in there first to get down on that planet, boots on the ground, and teach them so they were ready for what was going to happen. This took a couple of 100,000 years for all this to start and the wars. Basically, everything that's happened on Earth is what happened on Lyra. This is a repeat, but we don't want it to go the way of Lyra. And then that got carried on to Tiamat. We still didn't learn the lesson. The planet still blew up. This time, that is not going to happen. This is a smaller planet. We have all been through this more than once on two different planets in the solar system. It will not happen again. So, and that's what I know.
So it's such a big and old story, and we as you said, we don't want to reproduce this problem. And one of the, you know, my personal theory about trauma and lots of people is that we keep reproducing the trauma that we have because we've kind of forgotten it, and sometimes it's a bit like a bunch of activists just kind of reminding the oil companies that they're doing.
Well,
it's not
so much that we've forgotten it. Mm. We're here because we had to live in this system and forget, and so we were on equal part with the people on this planet. So we weren't above them. We lived it again as them. So we weren't saying what we know better than you. We came to live it again, even though we have lived it before. But every time you have a civilization on different worlds, this is how it happens. They go through this in this system. It's a duality system. They get to the point where they're in war, and they get to the technical point where they're going to create havoc or destruction, and they do it. But we incarnate in those planets purposely to help them through it. And when a planet is ready to ascend, then it ascends to another system. Or if the planet is not going to ascend, we ascend as much of the population that want to. But this is duality system. Most other systems don't necessarily run on free will and duality, because they're all attuned to source and they just follow source's will. So, and that's the beautiful realities, but there is no free will because they're all divinely connected to source. So they do the right thing all the time.
Yeah, so as we were talking about before. So the trick is to be able to do the right thing, to be authentic despite all of the, well, despite all of the invisible trauma that we carry, from what I can see. And that's part of what I feel is my, you know, part of my mission is defuse the PTSD that humans have. And The thing about for me is that we see this happening all along the road for the last 20, 30 years is, we've received shock after shock after shock. And it's the shock that reminds us all the way back, to the Lyran trauma, which is the shock of, these beautiful, like you say, it was paradise. And the snake arriving in the garden was not just, oh, hello, little snake. It was very much an invading force. So do you want to see what you can pull down from your ship's records? What was the situation with the Lyrans who did interact with the Dracos? And she's gone. Let's call her back in. She just froze. Sorry, William, you're muted still. Do you want to unmute and join in?
No, I'll try and say something while she had gone out.
Yeah.
I would like to reinforce what she said about this planet. This planet will not be destroyed. There's a lot of fear factors going on around the world at the moment about World War III and all this planet and all the people are going to be destroyed. That will not be allowed to happen again, ever. It will not. There are too many, how am I going to put this? There are too many beings incarnated on the planet at this time, and I would say that some of these are extremely well known from the past, who are on the planet at this time. And all of these beings are not here to fight a losing cause. These beings are here to help mankind to win. And that is what's going on at the moment. They have not come down here to fight a losing battle. The battle will be won. The fight is won. Actually, the fight is won. So, leave the fear behind. Leave the fear behind. Don't go into fear. When you move into fear, God moves out. Your spiritual moves out. There's no room for two. You're either in fear or you're in the spirit. You cannot have both at the same time. And spirit is what you are. Always remember that. You're nothing else. All you are is spirit. You're not that body that you're looking at in the mirror. That is not you. You are spirit. You will never, ever be destroyed or die. Think about that. Just think about it. People are not doing enough of thinking. Think.
So, meanwhile, we've regained. Liara, where did you go, love?
My energy got too high. I fried my computer a little bit, I think.
Passing those, don't mention the Dracos. Anyway, so, downloads. Downloads.
Yeah, before I forget, when we come back after the midnight break, I want to kick off the global mass meditation for Standing Rock, and I think you've got a speech from a chief. So I just want to remind you of that.
Am I going to be reading it?
At midnight, yeah, when we come back.
Do I read is it an audio?
No, you read it, please, in your lovely deep voice and your tones.
My voice of God. they call this the voice of God. No, this.
Yeah, we wanted to get a chief on or an elder, but they're very busy over in Standing Rock.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
So we wanted to start off the on air because it's very powerful what we're doing with all the light workers around the world listening in or listening to this later on, because it's going to go for 2 days right over to tomorrow and through the whole of Tuesday, because we're not just doing it for Standing Rock, we're doing it for the whole of America to send waves of love all around America. They need it so much on Tuesday.
Excellent. So we'll be starting like from midnight UK time, building up for Tuesday.
Midnight Tuesday.
Excellent. So that's great.
So I just want to remind you of that.
I'll see if we can. We'll
talk about it. Yeah, and I think they knocked me off because they don't want to talk about what happened in the past. They want to talk about what's happening now with the energies.
All right. Well, anyway, if you want to find out what happened
Tuesday as well,
if you want to find out what happened in the past, go and check out my video, The Lyran Trauma, on my Studio 9 Jam YouTube channel, and you'll see it. Just type in Lyran Trauma; it should come up in YouTube. Anyhow, so let's go. Meanwhile, in the present.
Yes, are we all still here?
Yeah, we're all here. Moving. Yeah, no,
just move about a bit, Jeff. I'll see you there. Yeah, I've been chatting to Adrey on and off for a while, so I know he's listening. I hope he's in the chat. And we're doing a lot with Standing Rock and sending the healing over to Standing Rock to stand in solidarity as part of our star tribes and our clans that we come from. As a lineage on boots on the ground from Lyra, from Pleiades, from everywhere in the solar system. We are the boots in the on the ground representing so many different galactic councils. So I don't know if Audrey will be talking about this in the future shows, but that's going to be very exciting and I can't wait for that.
Do you want to talk a little bit? There's so much confusion about all these different councils. Do you want to talk about a little about the, I mean, all right, so let me just...
Okay, talk about my council, yeah. And that might clarify. My council, you have a soul stream. You have an aspect of yourself on every dimension in existence between you and source. Because I go direct to source, I go bypass my higher selves, but I sit and have council meetings on a Tuesday night with all of my higher selves, and they are my council. And that's who I call my team. And when you have a council meeting, there will be from all your higher selves on different dimensions. You're basically having a meeting with yourself.
So is that something that happens to everybody during their dream time and things like that? Or is that only if you've managed
Absolutely.
To get out of the whole Matrix thing? Or is it,
every single person has a council. And if you, the only difference between being asleep and being awake with your spirituality and your consciousness is you don't either remembering or don't remembering. And that's it. We're all
that's
connected.
That's a really good
this
point.
The separation, you can never be separated from source. You can never be separated from yourself. You can never be separated from your soul stream. But you have a block barrier to stop you getting those downloads. We all connected back to source and connected back to our higher selves before this portal and this gateway was open. If we can do it, everyone can do it.
We?
Everybody on the planet.
Mm. No, but when you say we.
The light worker community that are awake right now, listen to this show.
Right.
If you've managed to connect to your heart, you've connected back to your soul stream. Easy as that.
Easy as that. And that, again, that's the, you see, all of these years we've been told by religious people or spiritual people that it's so hard to connect to your light being. It's so hard, you take a lot of work and it's all, it's so distant. And Jesus is so distant and he's up in heaven and there's God over there in heaven and all. But really, really,
one important
we're
thing
all here, aren't we?
They have all said, especially the bro, I call him the bro, Esju, he said something very, very important. He said, to get to my Father's kingdom, you first have to go within. And that just meant, stop processing everything from up in your head. Take it down 12 inches to your heart. Think from there, speak from there, act from there. And you connect it again. There you go. Easy done. Nothing hard about that. Does it take years of meditation? It takes a conscious thought. I'm going to connect to my heart. How does this feel? Does this feel right? How do I feel with that? It's the easiest thing in the world is to stop thinking with your head and speaking with your heart.
Well, do you know what I say? I say you're either thinking or you're breathing.
Yeah. Well, your brain is just to compute. It's just to analyze. It's just to get the downloads. You don't use your brain for anything else. You don't even use it. You shouldn't even use it to store memories. You store your memories in your soul stream. That is just to be running your body.
It's really, the French use the word cerveau for the brain. And, if you look at the car, A servo on a car is just an automatic process. It's nothing, it's not like a independent autonomous thinking device. It's, what's that?
So we had a conversation earlier, me and William, exactly like this. And we said we compared your soul and your body to being sat in a Ferrari with your handbrake on. All the your engine running, full of spirit, full of soul. You've got the key, you've put it in the ignition, and you're wondering, you're revving down and you're accelerating, you're wondering why you're not moving, and everybody's just forgotten. All you need to do is turn the key, and that key lights the spark. And that's your heart. You just need to return that key, light the spark, and get going. It's easy. You're in your car, you're sat behind the wheel, get the handbrake off, turn the key, and let's go.
I know, it's that simple. You're raising your hands in the "it's that simple" look gesture. I will translate these pictures that you're transmitting to me.
Yeah, see, religions have made things to be complicated. They've taken out of your power away from you. They've taken it so
totally.
You need them to tell you how to drive your car.
Exactly. It's like they've taken your keys away.
Test. You know how to do it. You're a blooming racing driver. you sat in a Ferrari think, and they've convinced you you don't know how to drive and you were in a Mini. And you're not, you're in a Ferrari and you are a top of the class racing driver. And we've all been stuck at the line ready to go. I've been driving around this track for freaking donkey's years and I'm racing against myself here at the minute.
Find yourself like, lapping
your engines rev. Let's go.
So here's the thing. This is the thing. Number one, you say, we just need to turn the key. Number two, we just need to release the handbrake. So let's explore this metaphor together. The key is what? The key?
Intent.
And intent is like, I'm going to do this. Or it's
with
not
no
even
mind.
That.
It's just doing. It's
yeah.
doing.
It's the
you
same.
You sit in the car yeah. outside with the key in the ignition. Now you've remembered you've got the key and yeah. you're the only one with that key. And it's your key and it fits your car. And you sat there with your hands on the steering wheel looking at everybody else going, what's going on? Why are they driving?
Mm-hmm.
You passed your bloody test ages ago. Excuse my French. Get going. Turn your key on, get your ignition, get your handbrake off, first gear, second gear, third gear, we're going right up the gears.
All the way up to 10th gear. So, William, you're making,
yeah.
go on.
Yeah, the key is your spiritual self. You're not going nowhere without that. You can have the shiny new Ferrari, the shiny new clothes to go with the Ferrari, but if you don't have the spiritual, boy, you ain't going nowhere. You need your spiritual. Don't be focusing on things that are negative. You need to go within and find your spiritual self.
Yeah, see, then focusing on negative is like putting yeah. diesel in an unleaded car. Mm-hmm. It'll bugger up your engine.
There's
don't
an
do
awful
it.
Lot, yeah, there is a lot of attention these days on UFOs and aliens and where I come from. I come from this planet and you come from another planet and that's fine in its own way, but you ain't going nowhere without knowing your spiritual self.
Yeah, spirituality is the fuel for your car.
Yes.
That's the way I see it. Your intent yes. is the key to turn that ignition to spark up your spiritual soul.
Get in touch with your spiritual self. That is the key. That is the key. You have to find your key. And your key is within. The bro, like, strangely enough, I call him bro as well. That he says that constantly when he was down here. Always go within. That's where you will find everything. Everything is within. Go within. Because if you don't go within, you go without.
Good one. So, that's the key. What about the handbrake? How do people release their own handbrake? You can imagine what the handbrake might be, you know?
The handbrake's your thoughts about what you're doing. It is exactly what you think about it. If you think you can't do it, you can't do it. There's your handbrake. You put it on yourself. Get it off. Release that handbrake. I can do this. I am doing this. Not, oh, I can't, so he's not doing it. It's just, I don't care what anybody else is doing. No. We had a conversation the other night, me and William, and I was downloading so much, and he was going slow down, and I just said to him, look, if you want to drive around with your handbrake on, I'm not. I'm revving up this car, and I'm getting shifting up a few gears. You can still sit there. And that was how we got onto this metaphor. It's like, I'm not putting my handbrake on any longer. If you lot want to catch up, you better get in your cars, turn the engine and, you know, catch up. Some of us are ready to go. And it doesn't mean leaving. We're ready to start kicking it down here.
Kicking. So what's being kicked? And
us, we're kicking ourselves in the pants.
Kicking around. So, I mean, really, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of levels on which this needs to occur. I mean, for instance, there's the level of just being able to deal with the people in your local area who have called you a nutter for 5 years.
Yeah, but damn,
yeah.
Anybody who you pull into your own little reality, in your own reality. The extras in your film, they're the start of their own reality. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Does Coronation Street care what EastEnders are doing and their soaps for anybody in America? No, they don't. They just get on and do their thing. Just get on and do your thing. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter if they're not waking up. It does not matter, because the more of us that are awake and we join our forces together, we cross our streams and we join and unify, that's where it matters. It's not one soul, as in one personality down here. It's one heart stream, many minds all working together.
So, the more you add your intent to this process that you're going to... Right, well, I mean, here's the thing. Here's another example of the break and the key.
Here's the thing.
The break and the key is the key of intent and the break of self-doubt. This is the dichotomy that we're all, well, I mean, certainly with the people who are coming to me, for sessions and, you know, in the general radio, this is where they're faltering. It's this incredible self-doubt that they've been, programmed with, you know, and we're all coming out of this enormous multi-layered blanket of inculcated self-doubt. It's been pushed into us. We've been traumatized. I mean, it's not like we can be blamed for it. Like, they've really tried hard to get it into us.
As you're speaking, it's just like, even you, this car metaphor just makes it so simple for everybody to understand when you put it in and give them a visual. That's why the bro spoke in metaphors, so I'll use modern ones. So everybody's just passed their driving test and they're going out for the first time without their instructor, and they're forced to go on a motorway. And they have to overtake in the fast lane for the very first time. They're going to have doubt, but the more they do it, the faster they get. And the more experience they get in that fast lane, the better driver they become. Some of them will prang up and have a few accidents and be a bit nervous about doing it again. But we all have had to do that. And that is the metaphor for that.
There we go. Very good. So, brakes. Brakes off. Accelerator, gas.
Yeah, when I passed my driving test, I had 6 lessons and I passed first time, and 6 lessons on the day of my test. After that, I had some lessons on the motorway. And then after that, I went and had some lessons with a racing driver round a track at full speed. And then I went on the cold weather track where they put ice on it and they put water on it. And I practiced skidding and accidents, all sorts, just so I'd know every eventuality I would have in that car. It's like karate when I was doing martial arts. I'm a second dan in a style called Salat. For the first 2 months of when I was young, I had to learn just how to fall. That's all we did, was learn how to fall. Break fall. So we break our fall. So we would never be scared of falling. It's just practice. Mm. You've got to fall off a horse. You've got to crash the metaphorical car. You've got to learn how to fall. We have angels down here and light beings. We have fallen so hard and so fast. Some of them are scared to fall again. It's just like, you just get up and keep doing it and keep going. You know, it's practice. Practice falling. Get up again.
Exactly.
They can't knock me down for long.
Exactly.
It's just giving me better practice.
And what would, you know, again, the handbrake of doubt is the self-doubt. Oh, if somebody knocks me over, I'm going to fall. I'm going to break. I'm like a broken egg, you know, just that, you know, people feel that they are so fragile and delicate. They don't want to go out into the world just in case somebody's horrible to me. Oh, you haven't lost me now.
No, I'm still here. No, yeah. It said battery's low and it's not.
Battery's low. And people get awful precious about themselves and don't like getting dirty. But if you get dirty, you can always wash your hands. If you fall over, you can always get up. You know what I'm talking about?
This is our job as light workers and starseeds who are in the community where we're serving and helping, is to give our clients the confidence to get up, listen to them, believe their stories, tell them from our experiences, this is how I fell over here and this is how I got back up. And that's the most important lesson. This is how I got up. not, and focus on how they get up. And this is how somebody else fell, and this is how they got up. And you empower them, and then you teach them, you know, to get up themselves. You don't pull them up, you teach them how to get up themselves. So when they see somebody else falling over, they can help that person. And we spread it on, and we help each other help each other. Because sooner or later, I hope if we do our job, we will never be needed in sessions again. We're all going to have to find new occupations. And that is when we know our job's done, when our Skype stop coming in for help.
I can't see that happening for a while. It just gets...
Oh, don't be negative. Don't create that joke.
No, no, what I'm saying is, you know, it's pretty, pretty busy.
It is
day
busy.
And
our job is
night.
To stabilize. Yes. Empower. Yep.
And a lot of the time it's like people are very, you know, they get caught. They get triggered and switch, into, this is our job is to bring them back to that center, bring them back to that point.
Do you know the thing that you do when people are triggered? What I did, I had a fear of spiders for a long time. And last year I actually held a tarantula on my hand and saw it as a beautiful being. The only way to overcome your fears is to look it in the eyes and go, okay, what's the worst you can do?
Yes, indeed.
Overcome your own fears. Nobody can overcome people's fears for them. They have got to eventually look at the dark side of themselves and face it. Overcome it, empower it, absorb it, release it. That's the only way. That's how I did it. Every single fear that I had, I looked it in the eyes and said, come on, let's see what you've got. Even doing this show tonight, this is my second show, and, you know, William will tell you, I'm not really good at public speaking, and I know there's people listening, and I really been telling my team, I didn't want to do this. I've told you no so many times, Jeremy, I didn't want to do this, but my team said, no, you've got to do it. I've overcome my fear, I'm doing this.
Well done. And it's all right.
Because I had no intention of speaking here tonight. But my team had other ideas going for me as well.
Exactly. We've all got messages.
Stepping up to the plate and having a bat.
Exactly. So, while we say that, as you say that, we're off to the first break, in the show.
My song.
Now, which one was it? It was,
I've got a friend who, it was in a band in the 80s called The Fat Lady Sings.
Oh, right, yes.
And
yeah.
This song is called Alien, and they are friends of mine, but they were very famous a long time ago. And as the Irish, I thought it's fitting.
There is Alien. Yes, indeed. And we're back. It's Ever Beyond. It's the 7th of November. Now, it's just past midnight. And I'm here with Liara and William. And I have been asked. Do you want to announce this first, and then I'll start out with the reading.
I've just posted a link into the chat room for the Facebook and my page on the event. We are kicking off a global meditation for the Lightworker community to focus all our love and intent over on Standing Rock to support from our community. This is what we're here to do. We've tried to get Hopi Elder on to try and kick off the meditation, but as we haven't been able to, we have got a speech that came from an elder, and I think JP is going to kick off the meditation with this.
So this is the reading. It's not from my words, but... I, Chief Arvol Looking Horse of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota Nations, ask you to understand an indigenous perspective on what has happened in America, what we call Turtle Island. My words seek to unite the global community through a message from our sacred ceremonies to unite spiritually, each in our ways of belief in the Creator. We have been warned
from ancient prophecies of these times we live in today, that have also been given a vital message about a solution to turn these terrible times. To understand the depth of this message, you must recognize the importance of sacred sites and realize the interconnectedness of what is happening today in the reflection of the continued massacres that are occurring on other lands and our own Americas. I have been learning about these important issues since the age of 12 when I received the Sacred White Buffalo Calf Pipe Bundle and its teachings. Our people have strived to protect sacred sites from the beginning of time. These places have been violated for centuries and have brought us to the predicament that we are in at the global level. Look around you. Our Mother Earth is very ill from these violations, and we are on the brink of destroying the possibility of a healthy and nurturing survival for generations to come, our children's children. Our ancestors have been trying to protect our sacred site called the Sacred Black Hills of South Dakota, heart of everything that is, from continued violations. Our ancestors never saw a satellite view of this site, but now that those pictures are available, we can see that it is in the shape of a heart, and when fast forward, looks like a heart pumping. The Diné have been protecting Big Mountain, calling it the liver of the earth, and we are suffering and going to suffer more from the extraction of the coal there and the poisoning processes used in doing so. The Aborigines have warned of the contaminating effects of global warming on the coral reefs, which they see as Mother Earth's blood purifier. The indigenous people of the rainforest say that the rainforests are the lungs of the planet and need protection. The Gwich'in Nation in Alaska has had to face oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge coastal plain, also known to the Gwich'in as Where Life Begins. The coastal plain is the birthplace of many life forms of the animal nations. The death of these animal nations will destroy indigenous nations in this territory. As these destructive developments continue all over the world, we will witness much more extinct animal, plant, and human nations because of humankind's misuse of power and their lack of understanding of the balance of life. The indigenous people warn that these negative developments will cause havoc globally. There are many, many more original teachings and knowledge about Mother Earth's sacred sites, her chakras, and connections to our spirit that will surely affect our future generations. There needs to be a fast move forward towards other forms of energy that are safe for all nations upon a Mother Earth. We need to understand the types of minds that are continuing to destroy the spirit of our whole global community. Unless we do this, the powers of destruction will overwhelm us. Our ancestors foretold that water would someday be for sale. This prophecy was hard to believe. The water was plentiful, pure, full of energy, nutrition, and spirit. Today, we have to buy clean water, and even then the nutritional minerals will have been taken out. It's just clear liquid. Someday, water will be like gold, too expensive to afford. Not everyone will have the right to drink safe water. We fail to appreciate and honor our sacred sites, ripping out the minerals and gifts that lay under them as if Mother Earth was simply a resource instead of the source of life itself. Attacking nations and using more resources to carry out destruction in the name of peace is not the answer. We need to understand how all these decisions affect the global nation. We will not be immune to its repercussions. Allowing continual contamination of our food and land is affecting the way we think. A disease of the mind has set in world leaders and many members of our global community with their belief that a solution of retaliation and destruction of peoples will bring peace. In our prophecies, it is told that we are now at the crossroads. Either unite spiritually as a global nation or face with chaos, disasters, diseases, and tears from our relatives' eyes. We are the only species that is destroying the source of life, meaning Mother Earth. In the name of power, mineral resources, and ownership of land, using chemicals and methods of warfare that are doing irreversible damage, as Mother Earth is becoming tired and cannot sustain any more impacts of war. I ask you to join me in this endeavor. Our vision is for the peoples of all continents, regardless of their beliefs in the Creator, to come together as one at their sacred sites, to pray and meditate and commune with one another, thus promoting an energy shift to heal our Mother Earth and achieve a universal consciousness towards attaining peace. As each day passes, I ask all nations to begin a global effort and remember to give thanks for the pure food that has been gifted to us by our Mother Earth, so the nutritional energy of medicine can be guided to heal our minds and spirits. This new millennium will usher in an age of harmony, or it will bring the end of life as we know it. Starvation, war, and toxic waste have been the hallmark of the vast myth of progress and development that ruled the last millennium. To us, as caretakers of the heart of Mother Earth, falls the responsibility of turning back the powers of destruction. You are the one who must decide. You alone, and only you, can make this crucial choice, to walk in honor or to dishonor your relatives. On your decision depends the fate of the entire world. Each of us is put here in this time and this place to personally decide the future of humankind. Do you think the Creator would create unnecessarily... Do you think the Creator would create unnecessary people in a time of such terrible danger? Know that you are essential to this world. Understand both the blessing and the burden of that. You are so desperately needed to save the soul of this world. Do you think you were put here for something less? In a sacred hoop of life, there is no beginning and no ending. Thank you. You're muted. There we go.
Sorry. Tears were rolling down my face just then. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It was beautiful, yes. Thank you.
Very powerful message, and I hope people listen to the archive of this, listen to it and bless the earth as you listen to the words of that, because that was very powerful. Keep it going as a chain reaction for as long as you can. And if you can join us when you do your normal meditation and just send your love to the American people, the indigenous people, but center it in the heart of Turtle Island. Thanks. Oh, I'm a bit drained after that. It's just like that was
you're
powerful.
Wobbly. You're wobbly. So let's all take a nice deep breath. In through the nose and out through the mouth.
Through the mouth.
And maybe a drink of water and bring ourselves back. William,
People have been asking me, what can I do? And just listening to that and feeling that, that is why we're here. Every single person listening to this, meditating, that is why you're here. The more hearts we have joined together, the stronger it's going to be. Sat on your bed listening to this and feeling those words and sending shockwaves of love out to the next person, to next door neighbours, to the people down the road, to the animals, to the birds. It will send ripples out and all those ripples will converge.
William? Unmute yourself.
Yeah, it was very, very, very powerful. It was a strong, and thank you, JP, it was very well spoken. It was very, very powerful.
Thank
message.
You. I do my best. I have to read these cold sometimes, and reading foreign names is often quite challenging, but they just seem to come, and it's quite nice.
I do hope that really goes out.
It will. Lots of people, I was trying to get, say, a chief to actually speak on the radio, but that was as close as we could get. And it's like, where am I going to get the words? And Lisa Transcendence Brown posted such this, these, those beautiful words. And it was just as I was thinking that she quoted it at the exact same time. I was thinking, where am I going to get the words from? And I think it's only right. It's their land. It's their people. They should open up the meditation. So that was just absolutely divine timing for me.
And apparently, I finished exactly at, 1:11, German time.
Ooh. Ooh.
So there we go.
Whoa.
do you want to talk a little bit about the meditation itself and the intent? All right. You know, yeah. We were talking about intent before. The intent of what Chief Arbol is actually trying to say. I mean, he's like, we need to protect the land. One of the things he said is to gather in your local area. Do you want to talk about these kind of things? Well, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, lots of people at the moment are being called, light workers are being called to go to the nearest sacred site and hold ceremony, whatever that means for them, even if it's just in your own backyard, back garden, to sit and ground yourself. The way I do, I connect to source, to the centre of the universe, down through my heart, down to the centre of the earth, and back up through me. And then I send golden waves out, and I just keep sending it out and sending it out. The more I stream in, down to earth, back up and out, and spread it out. But the intent of this is to start this off, but to send your consciousness over to the heart of Turtle Island, as if you're stood there. And dig in there as well and send the ripples out so both of your ripples meet each other.
Ripley, ripley, ripley.
Ripley.
Bless everybody. There's a lot of love going around the chat room, and thank you very
much. Oh, is there? Yeah. I hope so. I'll just have a look at that to see what they're all saying.
Lots of hearts bouncing around. It's lovely. And you know, as the chief was saying, you know, that is the heart. It's very interesting that everything's come to this place and come to the, you know, there's no coincidence that it's called Standing Rock, the rock where you make your stand.
And that's exactly why it's called that. Exactly, and that's why my team chose Tom Petty, Stand My Ground, I Won't Back Down, because it's all about standing firm, being a rock. I mean, we've even got The Rock over there. The actor The Rock has been over to Standing Rock. It's just amazing. I mean, it's still not on mainstream media in the UK about it. So we have just got to ignore what's going on the mainstream and just keep this going, because it's not just about the Indigenous Americans, the Native Americans. We've got to stand our ground now, because this will ripple out, and this is what is going to change the world. It's the Rainbow Tribe coming together. This is a Hopi prophecy, and we are all part of it.
William?
Yeah, I was just thinking there, and I was thinking about, as I spoke earlier on, about the ancient masters, and they all being here at this time. And, they haven't come to waste their time. They're not going to do the work for you, or for us. They'll help.
They're just our support.
We've got to do the work.
We're the boots on the ground.
We've got to stand up. We must stand up.
We are standing up.
They won't do it for us.
We are the boots on the ground, but I just advise, take your boots off and make a real connection with the ground.
Take your boots off, especially when you're walking into my rooms. We like nice and earth grounded.
Yeah, we're getting energy waves just coming in right now, so we're just feeling the start of the CME that started yesterday. So, and that's going to go on for the next 2 days. We're going to get a couple of waves, so that's another activation from the sun.
Yes, that was another thing we were talking about the other day. And it just made so much sense, is that not only are we getting galactic waves on the high frequencies. Not only are we getting solar flares on the medium frequencies, but then coming into the Earth. The Earth is sending out waves herself. Do you want to talk about that? Because this is something you told me the other day.
Yeah, the Earth is basically the way that I've translated this. If you can imagine it, is I have to do metaphors to try and get it so it's comprehensible by everyone, because I'm not going to start going into quantum physics and spirit. It's just too much for people. Imagine that the Earth is the massive server for everybody's computers, which is your consciousness. And because there's been a firewall that's been hijacked around the planet, the streaming's not been getting in and the streaming's not been getting out with the souls where they should go. And the planet's consciousness, her servers not been defragged or cleaned, and she's got bugs in and it's been hacked and it's getting overloaded. So this is what the big portal opening was. It was a big connection from source to galactic center through our sun and dialing back through the planets. And there's been lots of uploads. Basically, she's been defragging herself. All the souls and the information of the souls and streams of going back to the subserver in the galactic center, back to source, and then we're getting information streams coming down. It's like defragging your computer, getting rid of the malware, getting rid of the spyware, updating the programming, updating the apps, updating everything so the people using it can get a clear stream. And that's basically what's been going on with the magnetic waves, the consciousness waves coming in. It's data. Everything in the universe is data. And that is what's been going on. But it's going through the light workers that are awake, because they're using us as a conscious, clear channel stream, so it doesn't get hijacked. It goes straight up through our hearts, our consciousness, up through our highest selves, through our streaming as a pure bridge, as a rainbow bridge up to source, up to the next subserver up.
You know,
it has to be done consciously.
Sometimes I feel like a hosepipe.
Mm.
Like, I wake up in the morning like, what just happened?
Yeah, but like, they don't call it it's not the Ethernet, it's the Ethernet. You know, and light workers, this is our job, to become awake, anchor into the planet, start getting that data coming up and stream it, Wi-Fi straight up to the subserver, because we've been able to break through the firewall, because originally our consciousness created that firewall, but it was hijacked with malware and spyware. We're just defragging at the moment the planet.
Defragging the planet. Yeah, well, I mean, fragmentation, I mean, you use a computer term that talks about defragmentation. And fragmentation is the process that's happened to all of us, and we are now coming together. And anybody who watches a defragmenter running on your computer, you see lots of little squares, lots of little coloured squares that are all kind of random at first. And then it's really nice if you're OCD, because it lays them all out in nice, neat, long strips of the same colour as it defragments. And that's kind of what we're doing with our own souls. We're gaining all the pieces of our fragmented souls as we heal ourselves and go through our healing processes.
And the interesting thing that I found, and lots of other light workers will do, when you're anchoring in and you're using your vessel and your conscious stream of your own soul essence to stream the souls out through a safe channel, clear channel, straight up to the next subserver, which is the galactic center, the souls going through are so relieved to be being uploaded back home, that they leave you as they go through your through your own conscious computer. They'll leave you fragments of their own soul history, and they'll give you a piece of yourself back. So this is why we're getting so much, like, oh my God, I'm getting clarity from that, I'm getting clarity for that. Well, your soul stream and your ancestors will go up your channel and go up through you, and they'll leave you a little piece of information of them.
I'll leave you with a little gift. William?
No, I think comment. He's blown away. He's streaming, I can tell.
He's streaming up to the server. So.
Yeah, so we've been, since last Sunday, and that kicked off at Standing Rock as well, when all the women did the jingle dance and they opened the portal. us together, and they did that, but we felt it here in the UK on Sunday night, and that's when they connected up. Basically, they plugged in the Ethernet and they opened up the server. So it's just like, yeah, we're online and the whole universe is watching and listening, clearer and more streamlined than they were before. We cannot get away with anything, because all those souls are going back and they are reporting exactly the whole soul stream, what's happened down here, in more clarity from their own perspective. Everything is being uploaded. Nobody can, you think people are going to get away with stuff in the next couple of days? Nothing is getting away with anything. It's being shown from those souls that have gone home.
So, and this is part of the whole galactic issue that they've had for a long time, is that they've known that there's something going on Earth that is going to be, that is not good, but they've never really known what it exactly was. And it's, I think it's a bit like where I was saying to Simon earlier, you know, we used to think, oh, corruption is just bribery. But now we realize that corruption is a whole lot more dark than that.
Mm. Corruption is basically, to me, from my soul, from how I perceive it from that, it's like you have got a virus. If you've got a virus or cookies or malware in your computer, does that make your computer bad? No, it's just got a virus. People have got virus in their thought forms, in their mind, because that's how it's been programmed, and they don't realize they've picked it up. It's the ones that are conscious. It's like if you run in your computer and you know it's got a virus, you know it's got malware, and you know it's buggering up everything, and it's spreading to all your friends, you do something about it. If you don't do something about it, it's down on you.
Ms. Prisian. So yes, corruption of the heart, as they say, Vanessa. Yeah, very good. So, right. So, in the last half hour,
I'll take some questions if anybody wants to ask me anything that's relevant to now. I'm not going to go political, anybody, and I won't talk negative about things. So, but if you want to ask me stuff, I'll see if I can answer.
Well. All right, let's see if I can kick, because there's a 2-minute delay between here and the chat room. Let's kick off a question somehow. One that springs to mind is, and it sprang straight back out of it again. It just went in bomba. Oh, I had a good question. But it's about the now. It's about how in the next few weeks, when you know, we're talking about people stepping up and people doing their thing, and a lot of people might not know exactly what that might look like, but they need to do something.
Okay.
How do people know what it is that they're supposed to be doing? And I say, you know, obviously we say inquire within, you know, ask yourself.
The best way that I know is I always tell people in my clients, write down your intent, because that's very powerful. Write down, but just before you go to bed, I want to know what my purpose is. I want to know what I can be doing. I want to know this. Write it down, put it under your pillow, go to sleep. The minute you wake up, what did you dream about? Did it make you happy? That's what you should be doing. That's the best guidance you can have. And that's the best way to take your mind out of it and let your soul speak to you. And they'll do it in dream time. It's called the dream walk. It works every time.
The dream walk. So, question from Angel in Germany. How did you start out reconnecting?
I can't tell you everything, but I chose my parents, I chose this body. My body was born, and unlike most souls, when they're born within the vessel, and they come through the birth canal, and that's when you lose your memories. I was outside of my mum, but still attached to my vessel within my mum, and I didn't jump in my body until 3 months after I was born. And that's when my vessel nearly died without me in there, so I jumped in at 3 months. And it just basically, I could not be wiped when I was born. I could hold a lot of it. I mean, I couldn't hold all my information, but I held enough to know who I was when I was born.
So that, you know, that's quite an unusual situation. Most people, can't do the floaty outside like a balloony thing, and have to go through the birth canal process. And some people say that that's the point when your memories are wiped. Is that you get an electric shock? What happened?
My mum and my mum's lineage, she's got green eyes, rhesus negative, RR with antibodies, C and D, and she's got one of the rarest blood groups and antibody groups on the whole planet. She can't give blood to anybody. And that is, she, that is why I could come in, because she's got the right, she's like, she's got the right DNA for me to be able to do what I did, where I could just attach my heart, my soul to my heart within my mum. Without actually having to step in. So I would have been too much for my mum. She would have miscarried me, my energy. So that was the best way. And my mum said, actually, she was in labour for with half an hour. She never had any pain. She didn't even know she'd had me, because I didn't want to inflict my mum with pain when I was born.
That's sweet. Okay, question from Saffron. Actually, there's Saffron and from Vanessa. There's both two questions. Explain who at the moment is a light worker, and how does one become a light worker?
You don't become a light worker. If you're awake and you love people, you're a light worker. That means working with your heart, working with the light. You are a light worker. You don't become it, you are it. It's not a job position. You filled in that form before you came here. There you go. That's it.
You're answering the question too quickly. I haven't got any more. All right.
Sorry.
Anything else coming in?
Questions.
They're a bit slow. Yeah, always. We ask a question
and take. Ireland. I really want to talk about Ireland.
Oh, please talk about Ireland, because you know, I as you know, spent a week of magic. It was the most magical week. Mm-hmm.
My mum's family come from Ireland, and my dad's family come from France and Ireland. So it's in my DNA. Now, you can get people when they start waking up, they will unlock their DNA first. So you will lock the ancestral memories, and people think, oh, I've lived in Egypt, or I've been this, I've been that. You might not have been, you're just unlocking your family lineage. Once you've unlocked your family lineage and you've traced your family's back to its origins, then you start working on yourself and your soul, because that goes up higher. So when I did have memories of who I was, but not all my memories, and as I unlocked my DNA and through my mum's line and my dad's line, I got the DNA codings from Egypt and Ireland, which were very connected. So when I first unlocked my first layers of all this, I saw the world. I was outside the earth, and it was a lot smaller. And there was just water everywhere and one island. And that was called Laurasia. That's what they call it at the moment in Wikipedia or whatever. Laurasia, at the centre of Laurasia, was what we now call Ireland. And that is where the very first landings of the Lyrans escaping from Lyra landed. And that's where we set up the first civilization on this planet. On the surface of this planet. And then it broke up, and it broke up, and the continent shifted. But Ireland has never moved. Ireland has always been in the position, and the continents move around from it. But that is why a lot of Lyrans remember Ireland and remember the Emerald Isle. And this is why people are now remembering that the Pharaohs and the Atlanteans all stemmed from one central point and spread outwards to all the continents, because all those continents were all joined together at some point, and that was the central point. One people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The idea, you know, people, they are able to accept the idea of tectonic plates floating around, but tell them that the planet was originally a much smaller place and has since expanded.
And she's expanding as it is now. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what's happening. You know, this is all the movements, but the idea that the continents are kind of floating around somehow is ridiculous. But if you think, look at the top of a mushroom when, like the fly agaric, and it comes with a little cowl, little white cowl, and the red underneath pushes through and expands underneath the cowl. And the cowl then breaks up into little pieces, and they are exactly analogous to the islands on this planet as the planet expands. Mm. And it's only been expanding about 70 million years, according to the, even the, you know, this is not just like theory, this is...
Well, she's been stopped from expanding by the firewall that has been hijacked.
Ah, tell us a bit about that.
Well, the firewall, excuse me, was like a rainbow light shield around the planet that was hijacked when it was opened to let survivors from a galactic war from all sides to come in and take refuge, just like we're doing with the Syrians from the refugee camps. But they came in and they caused trouble. Like they're still trying, you know, it's just playing out over again here now, but we let them in to give them refuge. And then it was sealed back up. This firewall was hijacked. So the souls that should be going back home. And so it was a free flowing, which was put up for protection to keep the warlike people out while they fought the wars. But then when the war was over, we let the refugees in and they caused all sorts of trouble and they've not been able to get out. So it stopped the planet from expanding. If she expanded too much, that basically she'd hit that wall and we'd all be... I'll be squished. So this is what's going on. It's very multi-layered, very multifaceted, and I can't speak too much about what's going on. But we're light workers acting as anchor punch points through that fence, just to make so we don't pop the bubble, just so we make little holes in it until we could open this portal and this opening safely without getting rid of the firewall completely, because we've had to rehack that firewall and take it over.
So has the firewall been resecured?
Yes, we've got that firewall. Okay. Well, I'm saying we. Galactics have got that firewall.
And in terms of that thing, if it could be called a thing, you know, exists on etheric levels, is it able to now expand so that it can accommodate the expansion of the planet?
I'm going to answer that question from Matt, man.
Go on.
Yeah, when Lyra blew up and exploded, teams opened up portals and we sent the Lurin refugees throughout time and space everywhere. Tiamat was one colony that it was sent to, and when that exploded because of the war, that was part of the Orion Wars. The group that landed, most people that remember Lyra and remember going to Tiamat would remember this. We held our consciousness in a massive expanse of that planet before it blew up and surrounded it in a firewall, this bubble. And when the planet blew up, it was protected, and this is what we are now living on.
So the firewall...
A fragment of Tiamat protected the chunk of land of people until we could reform it. We put our consciousness into that point, went into the core of that rock. If you look at Google, go to Google Earth and put in Earth Without Water and have a look.
Hmm.
It's a rock. It looks like a large asteroid. It's not round. It's the firewall that makes it round and the water that came with Tiamat.
So a lot of the water from Tiamat has landed on Earth and is actually responsible for the rising of the sea level.
Yeah, it has been coming through the firewalls because it's energy that's stopped in the firewalls, not asteroids and chunks and things like that. They get through.
Mm.
And but of course, as they burn up.
Yeah. as an asteroid, which is the remain of the sea of Tiamat or Maldek, that As that comes through the atmosphere, it burns up in the atmosphere, or it heats, and then melts, and then becomes, you know, regular rain. And of course, Fortean events. The journalist Charles Fort, who collected stories of all these strange occurrences. Most of these are the result of the remains of Tiamat falling to the Earth. Because you know, it was a normal planet with the same sort of stuff, you know. Planets are not, you know, they're not that different. You know, it's like we got, you know, trees and flowers and plants and things. So did Maldek schools of fishes, shoals of fishes in an exploded blob of sea is going to eventually turn into a, it's going to solidify on the outside and becomes like one of those little, ecosystems, those little, glass bottles where you can, when you have your, all these different plant life in there. And you put the cork on it, and it becomes a sealed ecosystem. So these things will be traveling around for hundreds and thousands of millions of years, and eventually, you know, the fish will still be swimming around. You know, still be alive. But when it hits the atmosphere, it all burns up, and then all the fish are released and go blah, 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 on the ground, and we think, oh, fish have just fallen from the sky.
Exactly. You'd be very surprised what exists up there within our biosphere. There is life forms living within the biosphere just below the firewall that are conscious and sentient beings, but life forms not as we know it.
Not as we know it, Jim.
They are life forms that came with the planet from Tiamat.
And that includes subterranean non-human living beings, is that right?
Yes, and there's also reptilians that have been with the planet for a long, long time, vegetarian ones, fairy loving. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things that have happened. People know about Atlantis and Lemuria and the Mayans, and a lot of them went within the planet because mm-hmm. they could see what was going to happen. There's lots of the breakaway civilizations lived down there. There are so many, it's untrue. It's just lots and lots of them. And I expect they're all tuning in tonight. I have spent a lot of my lifetime down there. So I don't class myself as an off-worlder, even though I class myself as a Novan.
A Novan?
Nova.
Nova, is that the place in the Hollow Earth?
No, that's what we call this planet from outside of this system, Nova.
Nova, all right. Which means it's Latin for new. So is Latin... see, this is something that I've been considering. A lot of the names that we hear from the people who are, you know, non-terrestrial, they come up with a very Latin-y sounding name.
Hmm.
Is there, I mean, obviously, is Latin the language, the written language, the spoken language of the Orion Consortium? Is that where it comes from?
I don't speak Orion. I don't, when I have my meetings, we don't even speak. We don't use thoughts, like, in speech.
Yes, I know. It's a lot of telepathy, isn't it?
It's not even telepathy. You think, you don't sit in your head thinking things. As soon as your heart feels it and knows something, it's gone. To them, you've got it back to them instantly. It's just like, I can't even explain it. There's no words needed. This is why I find it really hard to do the communications, because I will get it like five or six whole concepts of films and the whole movie playing and knowing it, and I'll get it all at once as a complete package, and I have to try and make sense of that and pass it along. And that's the same way they all do it. So there's no speaking unless they're speaking to people who can't do that. And it's really hard for them. They've got to slow right down. It's like, could you speak dog? It's the same sort of thing. Can you speak dog? No, but your dog can speak human. It can understand human, but you can't understand dog.
Mm-hmm.
If you listened with your heart, you would understand your dog completely.
Interesting. Indeed, that's you know, when you hear all these people who are animal whisperers and ghost whisperers even, it's all speaking through the heart, isn't it? It's the transmission of an understanding rather than speaking.
See, when I was young, when I was very little, this is the hardest thing for me. There's everybody around me. I was communicating how I know to communicate, and they just weren't getting it. I didn't speak English until I was 7. I spoke star language. And my sister, who was older than me, I could understand every word I said. And then when I started to speak English, they took me to a speech therapist because they said that I was speaking double Dutch. And they recorded my voice and they slowed it down. And they said to my mum, she's not got a speech impediment. She's not stupid. But listen to her, because they had me say, Mary is a little lamb. It's really, but they slowed it down to half the speed and I was word perfect. They said I've got so much going on in my brain. I was just getting it out and my brain was 100 sentences ahead of what I was speaking. So this is why I never think what I'm speaking, because there's just no point. My brain's too quick as yet. So I know I could speak English when I got taught English, but I couldn't communicate slow. I had to slow down. But I was multilingual. I could speak any language until I was 13, just speaking to people. But animals were my best friends because I didn't need to speak. I could communicate with them how I knew to communicate.
Interesting. I just got this message. I don't know if you know her, but Solaris Blue Ravens just messaged me on Skype, who, if you've ever heard her, she speaks about 148 miles an hour. It's all very cogent, but it's really fast.
Yeah, because when you get in the downloads and you're constantly streaming, I'd speed up to try and keep up with the downloads so I didn't miss anything. But now I know how to store my information and how to slow my voice down and use my voice, because it comes directly from my heart up through my mouth, rather from my from my brain to my mouth and out. It's coming from a completely different direction, so I don't even have to think. I just trust what comes out of my mouth. I don't even know what I say half the time because it just comes out.
Yeah.
My heart speaks.
It's the heart. You could say that the heart is performing like a header tank. It's taking the mains and reducing it to a pressure that is appropriate for the house. So, 15 minutes out. Where do we have,
I really want everyone to listen to the last song. I've actually met this guy. I've met a lot of very, of musicians. I used to be sort of a little muse before everybody started waking up, and I've met this guy and he's a really lovely guy, and I just love this song that you're going to play last. It's the words and the vibration. He's a light worker. Most musicians are light workers. So they speak to us. So when we play the last song, please feel it in your heart and not in your head. And anybody got any last questions?
Oh yeah, well we've got 15 minutes.
We have 15 minutes, have we?
Okay. Got plenty. So from Twist was here. Can you tell when a person presents as a light worker but may well be a false presentation?
Yes, very easily. Well, for me it's very easy, because if you only speak truth and you only speak from your heart, thing that comes out of anybody's mouth, it doesn't resonate with that, and it's false to your reality. It doesn't mean they're telling a lie. It just means it doesn't resonate from your vibration. It's lower. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's a lie. It's just not resonating with you. There's no judgment. There's just, they're coming from this perspective, which is a different vibration from me. This is where I'm coming from. And it's not in resonance. There was no judgment in that. They've just not done the work on themselves yet. Never ever put people in a bracket where you've labelled them, because to you they will always be that level. You've got to always give people the space to grow.
It takes a lot of self-respect to be able to do that. To be able to allow somebody else to change.
Well, that's given them free will. When I've come across people that I don't necessarily vibrate with, it doesn't mean I don't like them. It doesn't mean that I'm judging them. It just means that I'm not vibrating on their level. So what I do, rather than focus on the vibration that they're trying to project onto me, I know my own vibration. They're not getting in it, but I will always find something that I love about them. Always, always. And I look into people's eyes and I see that inner child and that spark of creation, and that is what I focus on when I talk to people. I ignore the crap coming out of their mouth. I ignore the vibration that they're spilling out because it's programmed. I will talk to the heart and the child of the person. And if that's all I'm focusing on, that's all they can present to me.
Lovely. Sorry, I'm not yawning because I'm bored. I'm yawning because I'm absolutely exhausted. Yeah. And here's another, this is another thing that's been going on. William, please.
Yeah. Be non-judgmental. It's a very hard thing to do, and it's a very easy thing to do. But it's just a sort of have to do. is to be non-judgmental about situations, about what people are saying. Try and be non-judgmental about it.
Mm. Well, it's not our position to judge anybody else's reality. Otherwise, you're denying them their own experience and their own free will. That's where all the trouble is caused on this planet. People are so busy looking at other people's reality bubbles, they forget they're in their own, and it's none of their business what they're doing in their own reality bubble. It's your reality. This is your life. Take control of it. You are the star of your own show. You are the writer, the director, the actor, the cameraman, the script writer, the audience of your own reality. Everybody else are just extras.
You don't know the full story when you're judging. You haven't got the full picture. You need the full picture before you can judge. And when you do have the full picture, you won't judge.
Well, the way I see it, it's like I don't watch horror films. I used to when I was younger to see how scared it would make me. And I used to laugh. I used to think they were comedies. But that is just me turning a horror film into something that made me laugh because I thought they were funny. That's just me changing my reality to what I'm perceiving. You can change your reality on what you're perceiving yourself. You can watch a horror film and just see the funny side of things and know it's a film that you're watching. They're all actors. It's come out of somebody else's consciousness. Okay, I'll find something funny about it.
Don't watch anything that brings you down, and don't listen to anything that brings you down. Just up you want to bring yourself, not bring yourself down. You want to be uplift yourself. Don't listen to anything that is not uplifting.
Well, I would say the opposite, William.
Really?
Yeah, because you're telling people, don't do this, don't do that. I'm saying find what you don't like and do something about it so you're at peace with it. If you don't like watching a horror film, watch them till you're blue in the face, until you realise you're watching a piece of fiction and you actually don't need that shock and horror. Because sometimes we've come down here for experience, and I don't want to go and live and watch a world war, so I will experience that, maybe watch a film. You know, there you go. I don't want to experience that. I've just seen it. Oh, there you go. There's my experience. Tick, it's done. I don't have to live it. I've watched it. I've seen it. I've understood the lessons that people are trying to project. And I've understood that. Now I don't have to live that. Somebody else has done that for me. Tick, done. Don't need that in my experience now. That your experience will always give you what you're lacking.
So you could look at a film as a way of exploring the collective consciousness, because many films are a person's experience, a person's perspective. So we get to the ability to see the perspective of other people.
Yeah, and understand what lessons they are trying to learn from it. It's not to run away and avoid. It is to head it on straight and look it in the eyes. And go, okay, what was your experience? Why did you write that film? What was going through your conscious stream that you had to project that? Well, maybe that guy's family had died in wars that's made that film that wants to show that lesson so it wasn't forgotten, so the lesson was taken on in a future generation, other planets that haven't experienced war. Maybe one day they will watch that so they don't have to experience it and experience it through the eyes of the people that made that film. Because, you know, the whole point of this ascension is so we don't have to experience this again. Well, how are future generations going to learn? We don't want to make this consciousness have it again and to experience that for real again. Well, there's got to be another way that they can experience. They'll experience it through jumping in through our eyes, how we're perceiving that film. Or they'll watch some, it's going to be different than what we're doing it now.
I'm not sure who I want to get to play me in my movie.
Oh, do you know what? Now and again, because I have had a life with you, and I know that I'll have another one. Now and again, I will say stupid stuff and I will do stupid stuff, really silly stuff, just so when everybody who's listening to this will one day watch my life with you in that theatre, they will know that I'm speaking to them right now and they will have a good laugh at me, because I have a good laugh at myself. Don't take it all too seriously. We have a serious job here, but it's not all serious. In the long run and the big picture, this is an experience.
And like the horror movie, it could be a laugh. I mean, you know, Vincent Price and all those guys, who was it, Peter Cushing, they weren't serious guys. They, you know, they were hamming it up. They were having a whale of a time making all those horror those Hammer horrors and everything. And indeed, you know, there was a lot of comedy. You know, they made comedy alongside the horror films as well. So just like that, you have...
The comedy of errors.
Yes. Oh, God, and that's my life. That's what my life's going to... My life review is going to be, oh, God, did I... Oh, my God, I'm going to, like, be face-palming all the way through.
Laughter is the best thing you can do.
Best medicine,
it's
eh?
Best thing.
It's like we'll be sat there going, oh, God, do you remember when we did that? Yeah. Do you remember when I went to that radio show and made a complete tit out of myself to the whole globe? And it's just like, oh, we'll laugh at this. And it's just like, well, it's an experience and generations in the far, in the future, and I will come back one day and be one of those and sit there and go, oh, God, who's that Liara woman? But she makes sense, but she was really funny.
De Broglie had a great sense of humour. Even though he's not written down then. He had a terrific sense of humour.
He liked his wine.
He did, and he loved a good laugh.
Oh, yeah.
He still does, actually.
One of the funniest people I've ever met. From Majest, any indication of some energy going on during the time change here in the USA this morning early? I think
yes, it started. Yeah, it started about a half an hour ago or so. Well, because we're in the north, in England's in the north, we sort of direct line and we're feeling it first. So yeah, it's coming down your way for the next 2 days. It's really high. Expect magnetic waves, solar streams, solar wind. Hopefully we've stemmed off any earthquakes, but you might have a few tummy rumbles over there.
Yeah, I think a lot of, certainly I'm feeling very strange in my tummy the last couple of weeks. Very, like, stopping and starting and, oh, yeah, maybe not. So I just had a nice, very large vegetable curry this evening, so get everything moving.
Yeah, we all had curry tonight as well. It's a good way to get rid of old programming. You either cry it out, you sweat it out, or I can't, you go to the loo.
Yeah.
That's just it, but that's the only way to get rid of programming. Not like a computer we can send it out. It's the only way to clear programming is to get rid of it out of our physical vessel.
So, time cries when you're having fun.
Are we going to put our song on?
We are at the end of the show.
Oh my goodness, can we all listen to my song and please listen to the words and really feel it. Listen to it as many times as you want to, but feel these words.
And this is the Star Song. So, we'll play my tune, my outgoing theme, and then, I'll go straight into that. So thank you very much, Liara.
Pleasure.
You've been very brave and you've answered all the questions and you've
done
very well.
Another fear, tick.
Yep. That's it. That's another tick. So I'll see you next week. Now, next week I'll actually have Solaris on, if you want to tune in, you'll hear actually how fast she speaks. It's just an incredible experience. She actually speaks about as fast as I think,
I slowed down a lot because people know that I speak fast when I get going, but I have purposely slowed down.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you, William. Thank you everybody, connecting in with the meditations. We're going to do some more meditations in a minute with Frank Jordan and the World Healers. This has been Ever Beyond. Thank you so much, everyone. Good night.